Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Mem. Ah, quite amazing. Okay, boy, we're really getting ahead in this Masechet. So we have been dealing with all of the issues that need to be done before Shabbos. And just to remind Alon, not to get mixed up with his Atmana, remember, if you took that hot kettle and you put a bunch of things over it, and those were things that would increase the heat of the kettle, you would not be allowed to use the kettle, even if it weren't plugged in. It's only because that kettle, it does not allow you to make any differentiations in its heat afterwards, and it's not covered by anything. That is why you can use that kettle. Otherwise, those little things that they use to cover the kettle answer you from using the kettle. So don't buy one of those Shabbos covers. They're a bad idea. And they say Shabbos Kodesh to remind you, don't touch the water in this kettle. Okay, because the kettle actually does have controls that we would have to be cheshish. So therefore, the kettle is essentially nightly. All right. Anyway, so we've been talking about all the things that you've got to prepare before Shabbos. We were talking about the types of petilot and the types of fuel and the types of hachona, whether it's shehiya, whether you're allowed to put something back on Shabbos, before Shabbos. We were talking even in terms of the inyanim of the perek that we had before. We even got into issues of muktzah, because remember, muktzah is an extension of hotzah. So all of the aspects that start just with plain hotzah become hadlakas haneras, become questions of how it is that you're going to keep things warm for your Shabbos Suda, revolving around the same questions of Shema, which is Shema Yata, Shema Yachata, and so on, is where what we've been talking about up until now. And we dealt with everything, finally today, even dealing with the source of energy. I'm sorry, that was yesterday, right? Today, we want to talk about this gezeira that we have that affects our ability to take a shower or a bath or even a shvitz on Shabbos and on Yontav, and therefore means you better get ready before Shabbos. Now, Richie should pay close attention here, because there are many halachas here that have to do with saunas. And it turns out that actually there are ways for Richie to take his favorite sauna. But that we're going to have to...
At this point, it doesn't look very likely.
You mean you're not going to be taking a sauna in a lot? Is that what you're telling us?
I haven't built one yet, but who knows?
Listen, they don't call you Capitan for nothing. I mean, what does it take to sail from a lot to Finland? That will be the journey of a lifetime. Okay, well, we look forward to your taking along your Zoom camera on that little sailboat. Okay, so today's Gemara, we start with Itmar. So yesterday we learned that you're not allowed to take even a shower on Shabbos with hot water, even if it was heated up before Shabbos. Itmar. Chamin shu chamum erev Shabbat. You have hot water that you heated before Shabbos. Remarkably, Rav seems to disagree with everything we've said until now, and he says, you can take a shower, but not to wash your entire body at one time. You could only wash each limb separately. Where Shmuel says, no. The only thing you're allowed to use water that was warm before Shabbos is for your face, your hands, and your feet. Ask the Gemara Rav Meisfe. Chamin shu chamum erev Shabbat, l'machar rochets b'ponav yodav v'raglav avo lo kol gufo. I didn't get you. It says beferish that you cannot. This was the brisa we learned yesterday. So how in the world is Rav ignoring this brisa? To you, if to the Rav, it says not your whole body. Says Rav, that doesn't mean not your whole body. It means not your whole body at one time. So it means lo kol gufo v'atachat, but ever is mutter. I understand. It says you can only wash your face, hands, and feet. Now, the last thing I learned was your legs are not your feet, and your arms are not your hands. So how all of a sudden is everything mutter according to you? No, that just means the same way a person washes his hands, his face, and his feet. Now, he can't do all of that at one time, can he, unless he's an octopus. So it means do it separately, the way you would wash your hands, feet, and face. But then you can wash the rest of your body just like that. Tashma. Wait a minute. What about here? Lo hitiru lerchotz b'chamin shulchmumi erev Shabbat ela panav yadav v'raglav. Now, come on, Rav. it says you can't do anything but your face, hands, and feet. What's the problem? I understand. It means the same thing. It means you can't do anything except the same way you would wash your hands, face, and feet. Says the Gemara, but lamaisa tani kavasi de Shmuel. It's beferish braita that says it just like Shmuel says it, because it says if you warmed up hot water before Shabbos, lemachar rochets ben ponav yada veraglav. Now watch this, man, because there's no way to fit this into Rav. Avolo kogufo aver aver. You definitely cannot wash your entire body, even if you only do it one limb at a time. And this is talking about water that was heated Erev Shabbos. Now, I don't feel that it's really necessary for me to spell out to the dummies that obviously if you did it and you warmed it up on Yom Tov, that that same Isser would be true. Now, this is 100% anti-Rav. Before we get to the end of this, let me just point out to you that there's a different way of reading this whole story, the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, and actually, Rabba has a different approach to what Rav said, which is very different. So Rabba Masel Lashmai to the Rav Behalishna. According to him, what Rav said is that you heated water before Shabbos, L'machar Amar Rav, you can wash your entire body as long as you leave out one limb that you didn't wash. And then all of the questions that we asked were valid questions, every last one of them, because now you can no longer say that it's Ke'ein Ponav Yadav Araglav. So this was definitely a Tiyufta to Rav, the way that Rabba had said it, because what do you mean? You can only wash your hands and your face and your feet and everything else all at the same time. You just have to leave. I mean, that's crazy. There's no way to read it into that. So Rav Yosef asked Abaye, your Rebbe, Rabba, who raised you, I know that you know everything about him. Did he used to take a bath on Shabbos like Rav Paskin? Abaye said, I don't know. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? What kind of crazy question is this? That we just showed that Rav was wrong from all of these brises. So how in the world would Rav Yosef thought that Rabba did something that was against the halacha? No, because actually Rav Yosef knew that Lo Shmiele, that the brises that were used to prove that Rav was wrong, Rabba had never heard that. So he wanted to know. So Lamaisa, it's interesting. Did he actually take a bath on Shabbos? So then I don't get it. If he didn't hear that Rav was wrong, so then he certainly must have, because Rabba always paskin like Rav. So Elo Shmiele Vade Ovid. Remember we had before Abaye said, every single thing that my Rebbe, Rabba, did, he did like Rav. There was only three things that he paskined like Shmuel, even though it was Isser. And there he went ahead and he was matir, taking tzitzis from one bega to another bega. These are all shilas that we had here. Madlikin miner laner, all shilas we had here. And halacha k'Rebbe Shimon begrira, shila that we had here. We spoke about this earlier. So then if we know that Rabba always followed Rav, why is Rabbi Yosef wondering whether he followed Rav in this about taking a bath on Shabbos? Nah, says the Gemara, come on. Rabba always did like Rav l'chumra, except for these three cases where he went like Shmuel l'kula, that he paskin like Rabbi Shimon b'Grira, that you're allowed to drag a bed across the floor, and that you're allowed to take out a Hanukkah from one Hanukkah to another Hanukkah light, and you're allowed to take out tzitzis from one bega to another. That's a kula. There were no other kulas that he paskin. So as far as whether he specifically did like Rav over here, since he didn't know, who knows? Kachumre de Rav of it. But Kekule de Rav lo of it. So because of that, Rav Yosef wanted to know what happened, Lamaisa, since he didn't know that there was a problem. Okay, turn the rub on it. Suppose you closed up the openings that they had, these vents that they used to heat the bathhouse. So what they would do is they would make a massive fire next to the area where the pools were and the people would sit warm, and they would heat the water with the vents pouring out heat over the water and into the room. Now, suppose you shut the vents tight before Shabbos. Then right after Shabbos, you're allowed to go in and take a bath, but you're not allowed to bathe in it on Shabbos properly. So if I had heated it mamish on Shabbos, I would have had to wait after Matzah Shabbos b'chtei shi'aseh. That is another term in your terminology list that we've had before, b'chtei shi'aseh, the amount of time it takes to achieve the end that was done on Shabbos. You have to wait that amount of time after Shabbos. But over here, if you had sealed the vents, so then it's not a problem. You can wash right after Shabbos, but you can't wash on Shabbos itself. And if it was Pakaku Nikavavbiyar of Yontev, on Yontev proper, you're allowed to go in and take a schwitz. Then you can walk out of the room that is very hot, go into the outside room, and you can take a shower in the outside room. So this is, as we're going to see, before the Gezerah against saunas. Now, we're going to see that there were different levels of Gezerahs that were made. This was still before the Gezerah of taking a schwitz, which is sort of like a steam bath. So, Omer of Yehuda, there was once a Maisa in the Merchatz in Bnei Brak, where they had actually sealed the vents before Yontav. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva went into it on Yontav, and they got all heated up and schwitzed. Then they went out to the outside room and they rinsed themselves off. However, there was a special thing that was there which might affect the psak, and that was that the hot water that was inside the bathhouse itself, they had covered with boards, so there was no access to the hot water. So there was a machlokas here. Rashi learns, and therefore they knew that the water hadn't been warmed on Yontav properly. And others learned they washed off with cold water. That's how Tosfos learns. And in order that it should be clear to everyone that they didn't take the water from the bath in order to take their shower, and that they had only used cold water, we bring the fact that the water had been covered so that nobody would have that chashash. Okay. And then, Kishaba Davar Lifnei Chachamim, they came to the Chachamim and told over this, and the Chachamim say, you don't need for the water, the tub, to be covered with boards. It would have been mutter even without this. That was the Chachamim at that time. Now, the thing is that then Rabu Ovrei Avera, people that were Avarianim, we're going to see what it was that they would do, and there used to be a lot of these people. So then the Chachomim started assering all of this, and they assered the use even of the Shvitz, and Ambatyot Shel Krachim Mitayel Beveno Choshesh. Now, they used to have these massive water parks where basically you could walk through, and there were areas where you could go into a sauna, areas where you could go into cold bath, areas where you could get sweated up. But there were also plenty of areas that you could just walk through freely without getting sweated up. And there's no problem. Nobody will be choshesh just because you're walking through the water parks that you went in there to get schwitzed, because there's no way to say that you're bedafka going to get schwitzed. Okay. When we say ovrei avira, what happened that caused us to make this gezera, which is called the gezerat merchatz? The Omer of Shimon ben Paz, the Omer of Yishu, ben Levi Mishum Bar Kapara. People would wash in water that had been heated in Erev Shabbos. And at that point, there was no Gezerah. Even the initial Gezerah that assured taking a bath on Shabbos was not yet in effect. And therefore, people would go in and would take a bath on Shabbos. Hitchilu ha-balanim lachim b'shabbat, v'omri mi-erev Shabbat u'chamu. So then the balanim, who are the workers of the bathhouse, the attendants, they used to heat the bath on Shabbos. Doesn't mean necessarily they lit a fire, but they took boiling out water from a kli rishon, which would then be the equivalent of bishul by adding water to it. And they claimed that this was the water that was heated from before Shabbos. So that was the first stage of the gezerah. The Chachomim assert using any hot water on Shabbos because they were afraid it was heated on Shabbos, but they allowed still the Ze'ah, they allowed the Shvitz. Then people would still go in and they would use the water, they would use the hot water, And when people would say, wait, you're not allowed to go in there. So we're not going into wash. We're only going into schwitz. So everybody would go into schwitz. And by the way, there was hot water, you know, from the pipes you poured or whatever. It was a good time. And you could still claim everything was really clean as a whistle. All we did was go in to get a little schwitz. So then they had to aser even the ze'ah. But they still did not make any isser about Chamei Tveria. I mean, of course you can go into Chamei Tveria because over there that's all natural heated water. And there would be no chashash that you turned on some type of nuclear reactor to heat up the Chamei Tveria. So what's the point of the gezera? Ah, the point was that people would take a shower in regular water because they didn't like the smell of the Chamei Tveria, which was heated with actually chamin, regular chamei or, and they would claim, no, we just got out of chamei tveria, oh, it was great, and so it was actually, they had taken a shower, they hadn't even gone into the chamei tveria, right? So then they had to aser the chamei tveria, but they allowed them to use cold water. Then they saw that this was a gzera shirovat sibur lo yoko lamoid bo, so they took the regular 12-month temperature about whether people were mekabel the gzera, so they had to be mavatel the part about the chamei tveria. So therefore, they were matir the chamei tveria, but they left in place the shvitz. Omar Rava, by the way, you know what you see from here? That somebody who is over, only a drabonon is called an avaryan, because it says mishu robu ovrei avera. It's mutter to call him an avaryan. Kiman, like it says, ki haitan, it says over here, bisharobu ovrei avera, even though those ovrei avera were only doing an issur derabbanan. By the way, you said before that ambatir shel krachim, these big water parks in the big towns, you can go through without any concern. Amar Rava, when it says shel krachim, by the way, it means shel krachim. The fact that a lot of little villages like to pretend that they're big towns and they have anything that you can get in New York, Manhattan, you can get right here. So they build their own water park. Yeah, okay. But the fact is it's like one-tenth the size of the one that's the public bath in Rome. And when you walk through it, you do get all schwitzed up. So Kivan de Zutra Nafish Avlar, because they're so small, there's no way to go through there without getting steamed up. I dare you to try wearing your glasses as you walk through. Tana Rabbana, mitchamim adam kineged amadura, v'yotzeu mishtatev petzonei. Now here is Richie's idea. Suppose you have a dry sauna. Oh, so there you are in Finland. You're allowed to get all hot in that nice hot sauna. And then you can go out and you can jump into the cold water. One of Richie's favorite fun ideas. Don't forget the beer, but not on Pesach Rich. So you can't really put your mind into this fully today. But you can't.
We're halfway there because I just filled a pool outside backyard. We got one of these rubber pools that
Richie, you know, it's a long way from a Finnish sauna into the Baltic, into a rubber pool in a hot room in a lot. Oh my gosh. Eich naflugi borim. And even without the beer, I mean, that's the end. That's the end. And what about the cigar? Do you have any do you have any cigars down there? Yes, indeed. Richie is the picture of equanimity, let me tell you. Jumping right out of the sauna, splash, into the Baltic, and then sitting with a big cigar. I love it when a plant comes together and holding his beer. It's beautiful to watch. Anyway, so that is actually mutter. So you can get all heated up in your dry sauna and then you can go wash off with cold water, but you can't do it the other way around. You can't wash off with cold water and then come in and heat yourself in front of the fire in your sauna because then you're warming that water that is on you. And because of that, essentially, it doesn't mean that you're going to cook the water that it would get that hot, although in Richie's case, I think it would. But the reason I must shown him offer over here is because of the fact that then essentially you're washing yourself with hot water. And then you're going to be over on the Gezeras Merchatz. Okay, another halacha. Sorry, keeping you a bit, but this way you're saving a whole daf. Tana Rabbanan, you're allowed to heat towels and you can take that towel and put it on your tummy. And you could do this if you have a tummy ache. But do not take a container of hot water and put that, Tosis learns, and put that on the hot towel, because over there the problem is that then, in fact, the towel will end up getting warm and getting washed, and then that would be the problem over here. Is my focus as to what the issue would be. If the water spills on you, what's the problem? The Rashi learns the problem is you're washing in hot water. But the other way of learning it is that we're concerned that you're going to end up washing the towel. And yet another way of learning it is that we're concerned that you're being over on medication on Shabbos, which is usur. So this would be the equivalent of a hot water bottle, right? And indeed, the way that Rashi is learning, that we're afraid that the issue over here is not because of medication, but it's because of the issue of washing. So the Mishnah Brura brings halacha l'maaseh that according to Rashi, apparently a hot water bottle is mutter on Shabbos, because there it's sealed and there's no way for it to spill out, and there we wouldn't have any chashash. And he says that indeed in a matzav where it's a dachuk and you really need it badly, then based on this Rashi shita, you can actually be semich on that. So the idea over there is don't use a hot kettle. By the way, if you got any brains, don't do that even on a Wednesday. You know, we don't want a hospital visit with burns. So this is the part that's for dummies, but we always need to point that out. Fine. Anyway, Tanya Rabbanan. You could take a pitcher of water, put it in front of a fire, but not that it should actually get heated, because that would be boiling on Shabbos. And remember, once it gets to be, as we're going to see, to a state of heat in which you're going to recoil from touching it, then that's going to be real cooking on Shabbos. So you have to take it away before it gets warm. That's how some learn. Other Rishonim, like Tosfos, learns it means you can't put it close enough that it could have gotten to that point, no matter how long you would have left it, even if you don't leave it that long, which is the way that we paskin l'chumra. So it can't be that close. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and Rabbi Yehuda seems to be saying the same thing, except he's talking about oil. A woman can bring a pach shemen, and she can put it by the fire, but not that it should actually cook, but only that it should get a little bit warmed up. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says what the woman should do is she should put the oil on her hand, and then she can put her hand against the fire, and then it'll be warm enough for her to use on her baby, and socha levna katan, and there she doesn't have to worry. But you do not, he doesn't allow putting it in front of a fire. He only allows you, we'll see what the machlokas is, to warm it when it's on your hand. So now let's understand the bright. How come the Tanakhama only talked about water and didn't talk about shemen? So what would he hold about shemen? So Rabbi Rav Yosef say, no, he's matir shemen, so he's more makil on shemen. Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak says, no, he asr shemen, and he says you can't even put it in close enough to take its cool off of it, to take out the chill. Rabbi Rav Yosef damar tavayetz mutter, why? Normally, the shear of cooking when it comes to water would be called yat soledet bo. Yat soledet bo means that when your hand touches it, you pull your hand away. So a soledet is like a recoil. And that's the shear. But according to Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, the Tanakhama holds that oil is not a problem even to heat to the point of yat soledet bo. This is another munach, gentlemen. Please write it down. Yat soledet bo is the shear of bishul in many cases. Now the question is it the shear of bishul when it comes to shemen? So the Tanakhama, according to Rabbi Rav Yosef, hold that according to the Tanakhama, shemen is mutter to heat even if yad is soledet bo. And that's because sovra Tanakhama shemen ein bo mishum bishul. You do not make, remember, bishul does not mean heat. Bishul means a change caused by heat. Therefore, when you're talking about food in which such a change registers, And even if you're talking about things where the change should could be caused by very low level of heat, like the we had before, the Spanish mackerel case, right? Where over there, just a little bit of heat is enough to make it roy. That is the sheer of cooking, because cooking is not defined by heat necessarily. And therefore, over here, since oil is not changed in any way by heating, it remains exactly the same. You can use it just as well before it's heated as you can after it's heated. So there's no problem of heating it to the point of yatso lenispo. Oil, water, on the other hand, you obviously will not make iced tea by putting tea with cold water. You'll first make tea and let the water get cold. The water changes by being boiled. So over there, there's a problem of yatso lenispo. But according to us, the Tanakhama would say, oil, what do we care if it gets hot? Comes along Rabbi Yehuda to say, no, that's not true. Shemen actually is a problem of bishul. And hefshero, but just taking off the chill, warming it up a little bit, that's not a problem. And that's not the bishul of the oil. Comes along Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and say, no, you're wrong. Shemen definitely changes, and not only that, it's very sensitive. And even taking off the chill off of the oil makes a difference. And because of that, it's similar to the case that we had before about the sultanis and other cases where this little bit is enough to be called the bishul. So we have three different dargas about how to view the Isser of the Shemen, with starting with the Tanakhama being the most kal, and coming along Reb Shimon Gamliel with being the most chomer. Wait a minute. But Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, so what are we saying? That's according to the first approach. What about according to Reb Nachum bar Yitzchak? Oh, Reb Nachum bar Yitzchak says, Adarabba, we start with the chomer. So the Tanakhama would hold that the Shemen you can't put even if Einyat so let us vote. Because he holds that shemen yesh bo mishum bishul, and even just warming it up is its bishul, like Pulin says pani. Comes along Reb Yehuda to say, no, shemen yesh bo bishul, but the hefshero is not the bishul. And Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, no, it has bishul, and hefshero is the bishul. Well, that's the same thing that Tanakhama said, according to your approach, that's the bishul. Well, I understand what you're saying. What's the difference between them? The difference between them is that according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, if you do it in a way that's not the normal way of cooking, meaning you put some on your hand and then you put your hand closer to the fire, that he did an asr. That's why he says, v'eino choshesh. You have to worry about that. Whereas according to the Tanakhama, they didn't allow you to do even that. Omrav Yidom Shmuel, the halacha is that whether you're talking about shemen or you're talking about water, the din is yad so let it bo is osur. Ein yad so let it bo is mutter. How do we objectively define yad so let it bo? Since obviously people have different tolerances to heat, there's some people that can drink tea that you'll swear is burning them up inside, right? And there's other people can barely touch anything that's you think is just a little bit warm. I mean, this is a very common phenomena that there's tremendous differences in what would be called yad so let it bo. Is there an objective yad so let us bo? Says the Gemara, there is. Omer Rechava, if the skin of an infant is actually scalded and is burned by that level of heat, that is yad so let us bo. If it's not scalded, then there's no objective sign that the level of heat over here is considered to have reached the darga of bishul. Omer of Yetzir Bar Vadimi, I once went with Rebbe into a bathhouse that was obviously talking about in Tveria, where it was Mutter and it was Shabbos. And I wanted to put a Pak Shel Shemen into the bathtub. And he said to me, no, don't put it into the bathtub. Put it into a klisheni that you had filled up with water from the bathtub and heat it there. But don't put it directly in. So from here, we learned three things. First of all, you see that obviously if Rebbe told him that Rebbe was paskening that Shemen has a din of bishul. That's A. B, the fact that he was mater him to put it into a klisheni means that a klisheni is not mevashel. And C, you see from here that just warming it up, because he only wanted to leave it there for a second to warm, you see from there that even that is usher, And Efshero Zeo Bishulo, which is a problem according to those Pshatim who say that it can't even be close enough to get. Because over here, if it was close enough to ultimately get, how do we know that it wasn't in that matzav? Okay, something for you to think about. But how could Rebbe talk to Rav Yitzchak Bar Avadimi in a bathhouse? I thought you're not allowed to be speaking Divrei Torah in a bathhouse. Amar Rabba Bar Bachanan Rabbi Yochanan, b'chol makom mutar la'arher chutz mibeit ha-merchatz u'beit ha-kiseh. And if you want to tell me, well, he was careful not to say it in Lashon HaKodesh, and he only said it in English, you know, we know that Rebbe spoke an excellent English. Does Abaya said that actually, Dvarim Shel Chol, mutar la'omrom b'Lashon HaKodesh. You are allowed to speak Lashon HaKodesh in the bathhouse, as long as you're only talking politics. But Dvarim Shel Kodesh, which is the question of a halacha, you can't even speak about in English in the bathhouse. So how did Rebbe tell him to put it into a klisheni? Afrushe mi yisura shayne. To stop someone from doing an isser, you're allowed to even speak about Divrei Torah. Now, obviously, you're allowed to say, stop, don't do that. But that's not what Rebbe said. Rebbe, much further than that, he told me you could put it into a klisheni. Why did he do that? So you see from there that to explain to the person the elements of the Isser is also okay. By the way, a very important issue that we have not spoken about until now is raised here without our even noticing it. And that is, for the first time, we have discussed a kli sheni. Haha, put that in your list of munachim and smoke it. Because a kli sheni, and this is the place where Tosfos discusses the concept of kli sheni. And remember that on the surface, we have discussed, we've discussed heat, we've discussed temperature, we've discussed the source of the heat, we've discussed the instrument of the heat, we've discussed the insulation of the heat, and so on and so forth. But we never discussed the difference between heat and temperature, which people are so confused about. And this is the mucker in the Gemara of the clear-cut distinction between heat and temperature. So as Tosfos asks the question in the classic way, if the kli sheni is 100 degrees, why will it cook less than the kli rishon, which is 100 degrees? Is it not the same temperature? And therefore Tosfos explains to dummies that temperature has nothing to do really with heat. Temperature is a measurement of an energy level of the molecules that it is measuring. You can be hit by one molecule of 10 million degrees and you will not feel it because there's no heat there in one molecule. There's simply not enough energy. Heat is a measure of the energy. And a kli sheni, it doesn't matter how high the temperature is, as Tosfos shows us. What matters is how much heat energy does it have. Since it's already cooling down and it doesn't have any retention of energy from before, it will not cause the same impact that that temperature will cause in a kli rishon. So here we go. We have two new munachim today, kli rishon, kli sheni, and a new concept that we're discussing, which is heat as opposed to temperature. Wonderful, wonderful. Anyway, you can see, says the Gemara, I'll just finish this little piece, and then we'll discuss when we'll meet next, Teda. For sure, you could see that you're allowed to speak in a bathhouse if it's going to explain something to someone about Isser, because there was a Meiser with a Talmud of Rabbi Meir who went after Rabbi Meir, and he was being Mishamish him in the bathhouse, and he wanted to wash the floor for him, which people usually do in the mikveh, and he wanted to wash the floor. And he was going to then fill with clean water and so on. And he told him, "Ein medichin, you're not allowed to wash a floor on Shabbos. And that's a gezera because you're going to end up maybe smoothing it out and you're going to be over on Bina." So then he wanted to put some nice smelling oil around the place and lasuch lo karka. And Rabbi Meir said, "You're not allowed to be sach either because of the same reason." How could Rabbi Meir tell him that? He should just say no. No, of course, the Talmud could have thought meant, no, I don't need it. You know, it doesn't mean no that it's usher. So you see from here that Rabbi Meir wanted to go out of his way to explain to him about what is mutter and what is not. Alma frushi misura shayne. So the mice of the Rebbe and Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Dimi was also a question of being mafresh misura, and therefore there was no problem.